went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, and the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those three times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost better. Keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 and then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Hantoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Hantoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Bruce Bagan from B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're proud sponsors of When Your Health Matters. Please appreciate that as a pool and spa builder, we are committed to making sure that you can get the most health benefits from owning your own hot water spa. And that's why we carry a full line of Sundance Spas, the world's leading manufacturer of hydrotherapy spas. Relaxation is one of the best ways to take care of your health. And when you own your own Sundance Spa, you can unwind at home every day in the privacy and comfort of your own home. Each Sundance Spa has dozens of precisely placed water jets to pamper you with their massaging bubbles. B&B Pool and Spa Center carries a full line of Sundance spas and is a factory-authorized warranty center. Come to B&B. You'll be amazed at how easy we make it to have your own personal hydrotherapy spa. We'll handle everything for you, so just sit back and relax. Visit the water professionals at B&B Pool and Spa Center, where we've been helping customers relax and enjoy their water since 1972. 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com or call 888-706-4557. That's bbpoolandspa.com. Or 888-706-4557.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Hantoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. The best way to get a hold of me would be to call my cell phone. My cell phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, that's 845-561-2225. Or you can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick at spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding with the concerns that you have regarding your health. And as we've been saying the whole time we've been doing this show, that having health problems is not something that any of us should be having. It's very common to have a health problem, but it's not normal. So I'd like people to become more normal and not have health issues. And so we're here each week. The show is called When Your Health Matters. So I'm speaking to you, and if your health matters and you want to do something to change it, to make it better, because you're suffering with some sort of ailment or affliction or condition, my suggestion is to consult with me, and we can help you resolve that fully, get you back into the game of life, and get you back on God's plan, and survive and thrive in life. And that would be wonderful. And that makes me very happy in order to help people do that. The other thing that makes me happy is to have my friend Mark Sabin in studio with me. He's the man behind the scenes. He's the man that helps support me and has a strong affinity for you, the listener, because he's the one that puts all the time, energy, and effort into developing the topics and coming up with the topics that we speak about and ask the questions. So we want to welcome Mark and say welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Oh, thank you so much, Doc Rick. You know, spring is almost upon us, and in Chinese traditional medicine, their five-element theory, springtime associates with the element of wood. And it makes sense in a simple way that this is the time that plants start to their growth cycle and leaves start to return to the trees. The sap is running strong and grass starts returning to the ground. The sunlight's increasing. What more beyond those obvious signs of springtime does the five element theory tell us?
Well, its foundation is that it's a time of expansion, of renewed interest, of growth, and of new life. And, you know, that's really just what the foundation of the five element theory gives us. And understanding what that means and how to capitalize and how to take advantage of that expansive energy that is coming into and all the new growth allows for us as human beings to experience expanded outcomes and new growth and start things anew. And you know, we think that January 1st is the time that we start new cycles, and that's a good time of year to start a new cycle, but you're not going to see the fruits of your labor start to really manifest until springtime. You know, there are seeds in the ground all through winter, and then they start to peek out and push up through the dirt when you got more sunlight and more heat and, you know, got April showers and all of that kind of stuff. And that's all to promote the springtime expanded growth.
And I mean, it's just following the course of nature, really.
Absolutely.
Now, in this month of March, the month focuses on liver health. The liver is obviously, like all of our organs, is a very important organ, but they have different functions. And the liver is one of the filtering organs. And you've called the liver the grand central station of our bodies. What does that mean?
Well, everything we take into our body, either from the digestive system and our food, the respiratory system and the oxygen and the air that we breathe, or the skin system known as the integumentary system and what we come in contact with, all of it enters the bloodstream. And once it's in the bloodstream, then it's going to find its way to the liver for inventory. And so all trains stop at the Grand Central Station of the body, and I equate that with the liver.
Mm-hmm. So that's where things get decided or how to deal with them?
The liver is all about planning. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it sifts through and takes an inventory of what it is that it's receiving as ingredients, and it decides, okay, what should it hold on to? You know, it's going to send a message down to the gallbladder to help the gallbladder appreciate, okay, this is what we have in inventory. What do we need to use? What can we get rid of? You know, where should we send these orders, kind of thing? And ultimately, it's the gallbladder that makes those final decisions, because you think about things in the brain, you decide in your gallbladder, but the coordination of everything, the planning that goes on in the body, the chief planner within the body is the liver.
And the liver is a filtering organ, so everything that it's filtering is now inside the bloodstream, which would be considered inside the body.
Right, it's inside the body and it's filtering the blood, which is, it's inside the circulatory system. And so as the circulatory system courses through the liver filters all of those things that's within the circulatory system to extract, again, the ingredients that the body needs, and to let go through the ones that it doesn't need and that it can excrete.
So it actually sends things back into the body, but also sends things that need to go outside the body.
Correct.
Now, you mentioned that the liver works in conjunction with the gallbladder, and the gallbladder is frequently removed surgically, and the medical establishment will tell a person that you can live just fine without your gallbladder. Is that because they view the bladder part of the organ that just stores the bile as its only function? But isn't bile necessary for the proper breakdown of fats?
It is, and it needs to be concentrated if it's going to do it properly. So it's vital for a person to have this highly functioning and efficient gallbladder if the person would choose to be healthy. And so we'll talk about the gallbladder and all of its many uses and needs and why everybody should hold on to their gallbladder and make it function as efficiently as possible, probably during the month of May. But for right now, as we're introducing the wood element of springtime and March, we're going to talk about the liver today.
Mm-hmm. Now, the liver is responsible for letting the gallbladder know what it needs to do in order to break the fat down.
Well, again, actually, the gallbladder is where all the decisions are made in the body. Oh. The liver is the planning part of the body, and the gallbladder is where the execution takes place, and it controls the whole digestive system and execute what occurs within the digestive process. And so, for the liver, as far as things go, the liver is in charge of understanding what ingredients we need for hormones, what ingredients we need for inflammation, anti-inflammation, what ingredients we need for the healing process to take place. We extract those proteins, amino acids, and free fatty acids to coordinate the manufacturing of all those different things that the body needs in order to continue to live, thrive, and survive.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the important things that I've learned from you is that the fat we eat isn't the same as the fat that stores on our bodies, like belly fat, the fat that gets deposited on hips and thighs, is it?
No, it's not. The fat we eat, if it's healthy, natural fat, will be used for energy and the hormone purposes. And if it's man-made artificial crap fat or the fat derived from carbohydrates, then it'll be stored for a rainy day, and the rainy day actually never comes.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes the fat accumulates around organs, and so in those cases, a person could actually be slender but still have excess fat that may not show up externally.
Yeah, and this again is unhealthy, and deposits are they're put there in an effort to insulate the organ. And depending upon what the organ's emotional reality is, the organ may require protection and insulation from the cruel outside world and will create a layer of fat for that purpose. And over time, this ends up being unhealthy.
So the liver helps the body deal with fat. Does it, in being overweight, is that an indication that the liver is not working properly?
Well, it can be, and it can also be in conjunction with the other organs and glands that take direction from the liver to malfunction, and this could ultimately lead to obesity. So the causes of obesity has to do with digestive system being out of balance and not able to absorb and assimilate food properly. The crappy food ingredients, the artificial food stuff that we put into our body that the FDA says is okay when it's really not okay. The amount of protection that a person needs because they feel threatened by their environment, either on an emotional level at the organs, which creates the fatty organs, or just trying to create a layer of insulation between the internal spirit that occupies the body and the external world that's outside of the body. So if there's too much danger coming close to the body, mm-hmm. if the soul perceives that, spirit perceives that, then it's going to create a protective barrier, and that is your external morbid obesity type fat that's on the outside of the body, because that's what ends up creating the protective layer.
Mm-hmm. So a person who's not overweight, they could also have a liver imbalance.
Oh, absolutely. Hepatitis is not a weight issue, and all of that affects the liver.
There are more types of hepatitis than just one, right?
There's A, B, C, D, E, undetermined. There's recombinant. I mean, yeah, there's probably 8 or 9 different types of hepatitis.
Mm-hmm. You usually only hear about the first 3 of them, I think.
Yeah, and the government is trying to push, or had been pushing, I haven't really seen a lot of the commercials recently, but they had been pushing for $100,000 treatment for people who are over the age of, born before 1965, because they have hepatitis C in their system. Yeah, because they probably gave them the hepatitis C during the vaccination process, and so now it's coming back to haunt them by having them, you should all go in and get checked. If you were born before 1965, you should go in and get a blood test done, because if you have Hep C, then we can actually help you cure it. Yeah, but for $100,000, I mean, I could probably do it for $500 or $600. I would need to be $100,000 of toxic chemicals that's going to suppress your liver over the course of 3 to 6 months.
And when your liver is out of balance, one of the consequences can be jaundice, where your skin, your eyes may start to turn yellow. Is that a sign of that?
That's a sign of liver dysfunction. That's probably a sign of blocked liver drainage. And so the bilirubin, that is a product that the liver manufactures, accumulates, and if it backs up into the bloodstream, then it is going to cause whitening or yellowing of the whites of your eyes, and you may also get yellowing of your skin.
Mm-hmm. And mostly I hear that that's associated with people who have an alcohol consumption problem.
It can be. Again, that's the alcohol consumption that causes you it. Alcohol is all processed by the liver, so the high amounts of alcohol consumption means that you're stressing your liver out a lot. And when the liver can't process that anymore, then the liver malfunctions, and one of the things that show up as liver malfunction could be the symptom of jaundice.
And the other disease that's associated with that, when somebody has their liver is really not functioning well, particularly people who are alcoholics have that issue. What is the name of that? The liver disease that you may have if you've been...
Oh, cirrhosis?
Cirrhosis of the liver. What is that?
Cirrhosis of the liver is basically where the liver just doesn't hold itself together. It doesn't function properly, and it's a prelude to total liver failure.
Mm-hmm. Now, the liver is one organ that can actually reconstitute itself, as I understand it. It's the only organ in the body that has that capability.
Well, that's in terms of what we're going to talk about today, yes, that would be an accurate description. But realistically, every cell in your body gets replaced over the course of your lifetime every 7 years. So every organ, every gland, every tissue, every layer of everything gets replaced at some point throughout the course of your life every 7 years. So it's like, okay, if you live to be 49, then you've got seven new bodies over the course of 49 years. And the question is okay, so yeah, the liver can regenerate itself within... I think it's the total regeneration time for a liver is like 7 months. So if a person has liver failure, they can do a partial liver transplant, and that liver will then help regenerate and continue to support the individual, minus the immune suppressive drugs if it's, you know, coming from a different person.
Well, hopefully you're not going to get to that place before you seek out the kind of help that you're offering.
Correct.
We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I want to talk to you some more about the questions surrounding the liver and some of the ingredients that affect the liver.
Absolutely, but please listen to this commercial from our generous sponsor, and if you're dealing with an unwanted health concern, please consider what this next commercial says, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Why do I keep getting sick? Why can't I get healthy? Why do I have to take all these medications? You want to be well. You want to know why you're not. You want answers. Now you can find out why by asking Dr. Why. Dr. Why is a holistic healthcare provider who has dedicated his life to uncovering the causes of health concerns. Dr. Why has traveled the globe, studying the best natural ways to help you to wellness. He'll identify the root causes of your health concerns, get you the answers you want, and help you to health in a natural, drug-free way. Schedule a visit with Dr. Why today. He'll take the time to get to know you and your concerns. He'll explain your health imbalances so you can understand them. He'll help you form a plan to return you to health and balance naturally. If you're tired of feeling sick and a lack of results from prescription medications, you need to ask why, and you deserve answers. Dr. Richard Huntoon provides understandable answers and gives sensible solutions without relying on drugs or surgery. Schedule your consultation today by calling 845-561-2225. That's 845-561-2225.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you are listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. And today, Mark and I are talking about liver health as we are approaching the first day of spring.
Yeah, we're getting close to it. What's the relationship between the liver and cholesterol?
The liver is where cholesterol is manufactured, and the amount is influenced by the amount of crap that we put into our body. The more crap you put in, the more cholesterol your body will need to repair the damage being caused by the amount of crap that we're putting in. And the liver controls all of this as the ingredients required by the body, you know, based on what the body is asking for level-wise.
So
if there's a lot of damage, you're going to have a lot of cholesterol. If there's no damage, you won't produce a lot of cholesterol.
Well, it's interesting. You said you produce the cholesterol, so this is not from eating?
No. When you eat something, and this is, again, one of the misconceptions that, you know, our wonderful system, our healthcare system has created. I mean, there's absolutely no common sense in our healthcare industry whatsoever. You eat a food, your food takes that and breaks it down into an amino acid, a free fatty acid, or a glucose molecule. That's digestion. Those are absorbed into the bloodstream. Those ingredients are collected on the other side of the bloodstream and shuttled up to the liver. The liver takes those amino acids, those free fatty acids, or the glucose, and it says, okay, we've got building blocks. Wonderful. Where do we need to use these building blocks to either repair, to manufacture, to help the body maintain normal function? So what's coming into the blood through the digestive system isn't cholesterol. It's free fatty acids, it's glycerol molecules, it's whatever. And then the liver, when it receives those component parts, inventories what's going on in the body and says, okay, we got some inflammation and damage going on in the lower section over here, so we're going to send all these ingredients to help repair the damage that's being caused. And one of the things that the body produces to repair damage at a cellular level is cholesterol.
Huh. So you need cholesterol in order to be healthy.
Every cell in your body as an animal produces cholesterol. Every cell in a plant doesn't. So plants don't manufacture cholesterol. Animals do. And every single cell has cholesterol in it. So cholesterol is a natural product that the body needs in order to survive. But that has nothing to do with our dietary cholesterol. It just has to do with, well, what is the body doing to respond to or react to the stress that we're creating by eating the crap foods that we eat? So when we eat crap food, in essence, you're trying to take a square peg and force it through a round hole. And by taking the square peg and forcing it through a round hole, now you're creating damage to the junctions that allow food into the cell. Well, the body's got to repair that damage. And what it does is it creates this white waxy type substance known as cholesterol. And it sends it down and it's like joint compound or plaster. And it looks for the crack in the system and it just covers it up, and you know, and then maybe later it'll come by with some sandpaper and smooth it out or what have you, and you know, then the crack has been repaired. But if the food that you're consuming every single meal every day for your whole life is crap food that's going to create this kind of damage, then what does your body have to produce in order to repair the damage?
It has to produce all this cholesterol.
Right. So is the cholesterol that you, if there's two different fractions of cholesterol, and I don't know if this is one of your questions, but we'll get to it right now anyway. There's the good cholesterol known as the high density lipoproteins or your HDLs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then there's the bad cholesterol, which is called the low density lipoproteins or the LDLs. The amount of LDL that your body manufactures is equivalent to the amount of damage that is being created. It's a measurement. So when your LDL cholesterol is high, it's because you're creating a lot of damage in your system. If you don't create damage in your system, then your body doesn't need to create the high density or the low density lipoproteins, high amounts of the low density lipoproteins in an effort to repair the damage. So if you put real ingredients in your body won't produce damage. If you put crap artificial man-made carbohydrates or bastardized fats or artificial proteins or any of these things that they're putting into the food stuff that they're feeding us with, then you're going to create a lot of damage. You want to get rid of heart disease? Stop feeding people crap, period.
Now, you mentioned in the first segment of the show today that your body replaces its cells every 7 years. Your whole body replaces its cells.
Right.
So if that's the case, then you wouldn't just have to repair the cells. The cells would then be able to, they're reproducing. So if you're healthy, would your cells reproduce rather than repair?
Well, your cells are going to reproduce anyway. The question is are they viable repair cells, or are they the same cells that they're trying to repair? Meaning if you have a cell that's being replaced and the body is functioning at 50%, what do you think the maximum function of that new cell can be? If the body's only functioning at 50%.
It couldn't be better than 50%.
Right.
Presumably.
So now you have a cell that is functioning at less than what it should be functioning at. Then the next time it replaces itself, it's going to replace itself again with a cell that is less than 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to slowly have organ, gland, cellular function get reduced over time. That's, quote, the aging process.
Mm-hmm.
But if your cells are being reproduced with high-quality cells, like a stem cell, an undifferentiated cell that has the ability to take on 100% healthiness, then the person isn't going to age very well. But if you're putting crap ingredients in the body, creating a lot of cellular damage, then the person's going to age and things are going to malfunction, and then the ability of the cell to replace itself with a high-quality cell is going to be compromised. That's what aging is, and it's a byproduct of the crap we put into our body.
So if you have high levels of cholesterol in your body from cellular repair, is one of the indications of that that you're overweight?
Not necessarily. There's people who don't have weight management issues that have high cholesterol. There's people who have weight management issues that don't have high cholesterol. So it's your body's response. It's the liver's response and the whole system's ability to execute appropriately based upon what's coming in and how the body reacts or responds to what it's being given. If you give people real food, they won't have problems, because that's, you know, what God's promise was to us in the Garden of Eden. Live well and prosper. Everything that you need is right here. It's just, you know, just do this.
Mm-hmm.
And man said, well, we want a thing called pizza, so we'll make a thing called pizza. Or we want, whatever. And so we've gotten away from eating real high quality food. And as a result, our liver suffers. And once our liver suffers, then we get all sorts of other problems, things like arthritis, things like eye problems, things like, excess inflammation, hormonal issues, because your liver can't process things the way that it's supposed to. And so it's just a litany of different problems. We need to take care of our Grand Central Station if we want to be healthy.
And it really changes the way that you might think about the relationship between cholesterol and fat and the way the liver functions.
Right. There are two ingredients that the body absolutely requires in order to function properly. Those are fats and those are proteins. Sugar is not a required ingredient because if your body needs sugar, your body can manufacture that sugar from the proteins and the fats. The challenge is that we overwhelm our system with sugar, so much so that we can't even process all of the sugar that we eat. So what does the body do? Well, it does, anytime there's a surplus, it saves for a rainy day. The problem is the way we've set up our society and the way we've set up our food supply and the way we have our digestive system all screwed up from all the digestive system disruptors, we now have the perfect storm for creating obesity and creating heart disease and creating cholesterol issues and creating high blood pressure and strokes and cancers and autoimmune disease. And all of these things are predicated on proper ingredients versus non-proper ingredients. And the Food and Drug Administration turns a blind eye to the fact that it's allowing crap ingredients because they're, quote, generally recognized as safe.
It always fascinates me in our conversations that although we're talking as one adult to another, really the lessons that you talk about most frequently are the lessons that we've probably all learned while we were in grammar school about how to eat healthy.
Right.
You have a well-balanced food and well-balanced diet with good fresh food, vegetables, fruits, meats. It's just amazing to me that that's kind of the fundamental place where that began. And yet, as a society, we keep moving away from that. We keep going
Here in the States, that's true. I mean, I've spent a lot of time over in Europe, and I've had the pleasure of traveling to different countries and also wanting to go over there to get an education to understand, well, how do other countries outside of the U.S. do things? And I found some very fascinating things. Spending time in Italy, spending time in France, spending time in Egypt, lots of time in Asia. What's interesting is what I notice in Italy is the fact that everything is absolutely fresh. You go to the corner market, the little mom and pop corner market, and you buy the fresh catch of fish. You pick you purchase the fruits and vegetables that were delivered that morning, and everything's fresh. And you go to you don't have a big freezer or refrigerator stocked with stuff for weeks on end. You go in the morning and you get your food for the day, and it's fresh. And as a result of that, they have higher quality health than we do here in the U.S. Why? Because we're all about shelf life and eating artificial ingredients and prepackaged foods. And the amount of sugar that we consume in this country compared to every other country in the world, I'm pretty sure that we, as the one country, probably consume more sugar than all the other countries combined.
And that, that goes to, you've said to me before that, we rank pretty low, like 59th or something.
We're 59th in the world as far as our health and longevity goes.
Right. And that can't be because we don't have a healthcare system that has all the doctors and bells and whistles and
more
and
doctors,
machines and
more hospitals, more technology, more access, more
and
medications.
Still, we're 59th.
And yet we're 59th.
And then you go to a country like Italy, and I've been to Italy, and it's exactly as you said. You buy the food that you want for the day on the day, and then you see that there's a lot healthier population.
Right. Their older population are still very active and still involved in society. There's, it's like that's their way of life. It's not like they're looking forward to a retirement. No. And, I remember when I was cycling through southern China. Okay, I've had the pleasure of doing that on more than one occasion. And interestingly enough, you see these 70, 80-year-old women who are all hunched over with this little wooden formed stick on their back, and they've got a bucket of water on either side. And so they go to the stream, they get some water, and then they carry it all the way back, and they help to water their plants and their fields and this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, okay, here's a mid-70-year-old, 80-year-old woman who's doing this manual labor stuff, and she's able to do it. But to ask somebody in this country that age to lug around that kind of water several times a day, and they look at you like you got nine heads because they're, quote, not physically capable of doing it.
Look at a 30-year-old, they probably get that
right.
look.
And that's a general rule, and that's not to say that there aren't senior citizens in our country that aren't really, really viable and aren't able to be. Of course, there's lots of who are physically active. They've taken better care of themselves. But as a general rule, okay, the average lifespan in this country for women is, I think, 76 years. And I think for men is like 73 or 74 years. And it's like, okay, so what does that say?
And that's declined over the last few years.
The last 2 years, the people have, younger people have died and older people are living, you know, so the generation behind the senior citizens right now, they're perishing faster than the generation that came after them.
That's a first. That's a real first. Now, back to the liver. I mean, the liver associates with particular tissues in the body. It governs the connective tissue, which you mentioned arthritis before. Mm-hmm. How does that correspond with the grand central comparison?
Well, the storage site, the liver itself processes everything and coordinates everything. But, you know, their storage site, every organ, every gland has an area of influence within the body. And as a basic understanding, the liver regulates all your muscles, joints, tendons, your connective tissue, et cetera. And so when a person gets arthritis, that's inflammation in the area that's governed by the liver. So because if they govern the muscles, joints, and tendons, arthritis is inflammation of your joints at the tendon level where the tendon attaches to the joint itself. So when you get inflammation of the joints and the tendons, okay, that's a liver problem. So all arthritis is a liver condition, whether it's a metabolic arthritis, whether it's a inflammatory arthritis, or whether it's an old age degenerative osteoarthritis. All three of those arthritides can all be traced back to too much crap in your liver from living a lifestyle that promotes too much crap in your liver. Clean the liver up and those conditions improve dramatically. But the question is a person going to be willing to alter their lifestyle, and how much abuse have they put into their system? And you know, it's just a byproduct of understanding that. But yeah, the connective tissues, the muscles, joints, tendons, those things all relate to the liver. And so any kind of inflammation within any aspect of that is going to trace back to liver function, and is the liver doing its job properly.
And since those are so far removed from the actual organ of the liver, it would seem things like toxins and stuff are going to store elsewhere in the body. That if it's overwhelming the liver, that is that what's happening, and you're getting toxins stored in the joints?
Yeah, you're getting toxins that affect those external, faraway storage sites that are under the control of how the liver functions. And, you know, every part of your body is controlled and regulated. You know, your vision is also controlled by your liver.
Now,
you mentioned
that before.
That's why when you get yellowing, when you get the increased bilirubin in your blood, the whites of your eyes turn yellow. Why? Because it's strongly influenced by the liver. Mm-hmm. Okay, your ears are controlled by your kidneys. You know, your sense of smell is controlled by your large intestine. And it's like, okay, so understanding the senses and the organs associated with them helps you to appreciate, you know, how to unwind these health conditions that are focused in a particular organ or a system that controls the organ.
And I recall you saying that the eyes, the reason that we need reading glasses is because it's really a form of arthritis of the eye muscle.
Right. The constriction and expansion of the muscles that control the lens of your eye, okay, if you're storing toxins in that particular mechanism that helps to expand and contract the lens of the eye, if that starts to get inflamed and it doesn't expand fully, or if it doesn't contract fully, then the lens of your eye isn't going to adjust to what it's looking at. So you might need, you know, reading glasses for things that are up close, because your lens of your eye won't basically constrict enough in order for you to focus at that particular level. Whereas things far enough away, you know, your lens of the eye won't do what that's supposed to do. Why? Because the tendons and the muscles associated with expanding and contracting the lens aren't working properly. So that's you know, reading glasses as one ages, that's, as far as I'm concerned, that's a symptom of arthritis in the system, but it's affecting the eye specifically.
Fascinating. Fascinating conversation, Doc Rick. We need to take another short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I have a number of other questions to ask you about the liver and the health of the liver and what you can do to keep your liver healthy.
Absolutely. But please listen to this commercial, consider what it says, and when you need help, I'm here to help you.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Why do I keep getting sick? Why can't I get healthy? Why do I have to take all these medications? You want to be well. You want to know why you're not. You want answers. Now you can find out by asking Dr. Why. Dr. Why is a holistic healthcare provider who has dedicated his life to uncovering the causes of health concerns. Dr. Why has traveled the globe studying the best natural ways to help you to wellness. He'll identify the root causes of your health concerns, get you the answers you want, and help you to health in a natural, drug-free way. Schedule a visit with Dr. Why today by calling 845-561-2225. That's 845-561-2225.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. And today, Mark and I are talking about liver health and the importance of your liver and the relationships the liver has with other aspects of your body. And what else you got for me, Mark?
Well, we talked a little bit about high cholesterol. And when you have high cholesterol, doctors will prescribe statins, but there are significant side effects to those statins. What are they?
There's lots depending upon who the person is, but one that seems to be the most severe side effect associated with taking statin medications is the fact that it's going to suppress your liver. And as a result of suppressing your liver, it's going to drive up your blood sugar, which is going to lead to a condition called diabetes. So the chief negative outcome of taking a statin medication other than suppressing your liver is the development of diabetes as a condition. Now, the challenge with that is the fact that medicine is not concerned if you have diabetes. Why? Because they have a treatment for diabetes. So it doesn't matter if you develop diabetes because there's just more medication that they can give you to help you manage your diabetes. But it's not normal diabetes. It's medically induced diabetes. So why would you want to take a medication that's going to cause you to have diabetes and cause you to have to take more medicines and have to have come in for more tests and maybe eventually develop neuropathy in your feet or maybe develop eye issues or any of these kinds of things because you keep suppressing your liver with a statin medication? So we don't want to do that. We want to clean up the liver. We want to get the liver to function properly the way that God intended for it to function. And there's lots of different ways to do that. And you as the consumer listening today and hearing the information, I hope that you're actually thinking, maybe there is something that I can do to A, get off of this medication because I don't want to have diabetes. And oh my God, Dr. Rick's right. I did develop them. My doctor's now testing me to see if I have diabetes since I started taking this medication. That's not okay. And it's not about kicking the can down the road. It's about fixing the reason for why a person has a problem. And, I don't know of anything that medicine's doing because that's not their focus, but I don't know of anything that medicine's doing that is actually looking to fix, meaning truly fix, the imbalance that a person has. But
well, what can you do naturally? I mean, you said there are solutions that you could offer.
There are solutions. We have a program that'll be starting in a couple weeks called the Doctor Supervised Detoxification Program. And for 23 years or so, it's a program that I offered in my office up in New York. I've done it myself on more than one occasion. And what it does is it helps to clean all your filters. You got your three internal filters, which is your liver, your spleen, and your kidneys. Those get filled up with toxins. Why? Because the external filters are letting things that don't belong in because they're malfunctioning. And those are your large intestine, your lungs, and your skin. And what this program does, it's a 23-day program that's designed specifically to prepare the body for flushing itself. Then you flush yourself with the way that the program's laid out. And then you gradually reintroduce food to minimize the liver shutting down again and creating more inflammation. And you'll know during the last 9 days if some of the foods that you're eating that you have a sensitivity to that you eat on a regular basis. And if that is, then we can nip that in the bud so you don't keep creating toxins for the liver to have to deal with. And, you know, once you clean the liver out, then your body starts functioning more efficiently, and then you can reduce all, pretty much all your medications, not under my supervision, but under your medical doctor's supervision. But you'll find that your body functions more efficiently, so you don't need as much medication. And sometimes you can even come off the medication. But again, that's not under my supervision. That would be under your medical prescribing doctor's supervision. But my supervision would be to help you clean your system out so that your body can function more efficiently and you don't need as much or at all the medicines that you're taking.
So you would coordinate with the medical doctors in order to get that accurately done?
I always try to coordinate with the medical doctors because it's a team approach. And realistically, the boss that we both have is the patient. The patient is the boss. I'm an employee of them. If they choose to hire me, I'm their employee. I work for them. Mm-hmm. So I need to coordinate with the other workers that work for them to make sure that we're all working in the same direction for the benefit of the patient. So I try to work with medical doctors. A lot of times they don't want to know me from a hole in the wall. Why? Because then they're going to have to change what they're doing in the best interest of their patient. Then they interferes with what their brand mm-hmm. is about. And mm-hmm. so fortunately or unfortunately enough, you know, the patient starts to understand, okay, well, who's actually really in my corner and who's not? But at the end of the day, the doctor has to choose to want to work with me. And I've found over the last 30 years that there are some who will, and I have very nice relationships with them. And then there are some who won't because they, you know, but yet they still refer to me, which I find funny.
That's interesting. Now, one of the things that we talk about often with any of the meridians and organs associated with them is that there are emotions associated with the liver. What are the primary emotions associated?
Well, there's 10 emotions that essentially affect how the liver functions, but they're associated also with the gallbladder. And so these 10 emotions affect the liver and the gallbladder. Okay. So anger, resentment, galled or stubborn, emotional repression, depression, indecision, irrationality, frustration, and aggression. So the ones specifically for the liver are anger, irrationality, frustration, and aggression, and the other six are associated specifically with the gallbladder, but the wood element that coordinates the liver and the gallbladder, which is what we're dealing with in the course of springtime, those are the negative emotions that influence how the liver and the gallbladder system function.
Are there positive emotions as well?
Sure, there's positive emotions. But when you have positive emotions, you know, you don't have a problem. So people don't call me and say, Dr. Rick, I'm really happy. I just wanted you to know. Do you have anything for that? No, they're happy. They don't have an issue. There would be no reason for them to call me. It's when a person calls me and me wanting to help them understand why they have their issues, you know, I'll list those 10 emotions to people that come to me that I know have liver gallbladder issues. And I'll just say, which one of these 10 do you resonate with? And I watch them and I see the wrinkled brow show up as I'm calling these things off. And I'll say, so I see that you're having a response to those 10 emotions. Which one of them bother you? And they're like, all 10 of them. Well, good. Now you're aware of that. Now I can help you turn that energy, the energy of destruction, into the energy of production. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll empower you to make positive changes as opposed to you being the effect of things controlling you. I'll teach you how to control things. Most importantly, I'll teach you how to control your health so that you're the one driving the health bus, not somebody else.
It's, you know, with I know that anger is one of the primary emotions that people associate with liver. And you hear about people who have, again, have drinking problems and the violence that comes out of drunkenness and alcohol. There does seem to be a direct correlation that most people could recognize, I think.
Yeah, but you have to want to recognize it, okay? I don't know who's listening to our show right now, but it's not about me. It's about the people listening to the show. So the ones that are listening to the show, this is called When Your Health Matters, meaning the listener.
Sure.
So if they're listening and they recognize something within themselves that I'm talking about, or if they have a natural curiosity, that probably means that they know on a subconscious level that this is probably true for them. Mm-hmm. And that's really the level that I'm trying to communicate to the people who are listening. The people who are conscious and who are ready, they will take appropriate action. The people who are kind of on the fence, they may take the information in, they may sit with it for a little while. But one of the emotions that affects how the liver and gallbladder system function, is indecision.
Indecision, you mentioned, yeah.
So I, you know, I'll sometimes say to a patient, do you consider yourself indecisive? And they're like, no, I don't think so. Not really. Maybe sometimes, but not all the time. And I'm like, yeah, you just basically defined indecision. You couldn't even give me a solid yes or a no. It was kind of a mishmash in between. It's like, you know. Great. Pointing these things out for somebody, not making them wrong because of it, because it's not about being right or wrong. It's about understanding, okay, this is where I'm at. This is where I find myself. I'm in a boat in the middle of the ocean. Okay, well, how do I solve this? Okay, well, if I had a compass, I could go in a particular direction. If I knew where in the body of water I am and what body of water I am, then I would know which direction to go. And, you know, that's why we have these cool things called GPSs. Well, I want to help you activate your GPS system specific for you and your health, and I can help you do that.
And when it comes to liver health, one of the things that you could look at, I mean, you could look at if you're finding yourself having some of these emotions prevailing in your life, that you're angry all the time or that you're indecisive all the time, that might be an indication that something may not have manifested as a liver problem, but it could be a subtle imbalance, and you're actually able to talk to somebody and address that.
Yeah, we do a lot of emotional clearing for people. One of the seven pillars has to do with emotions, okay? The seven pillars of health that we talk about, okay? So if a person has a particular problem and we evaluate them from those seven different pillars and we come back and they have a liver problem and we check the emotions and they have an emotion of emotional repression, meaning that they hold their feelings in, okay? Instead of expressing them. Why? Because their mom browbeat into their psyche that says, okay, if you can't say something nice, don't say it. That's something that my mom used to say to me. And so at the end of the day, if you don't know how to express how you're feeling, you know, don't say anything. Well, that energy that's not being expressed has to go somewhere. If it goes into the organ of your liver, it's going to interfere with how the liver functions, which is going to lead to some sort of liver consequence down the road. If I can help a person remove that blockage to allow them to express it in a productive way, okay, then they won't be trapping energy and creating problems for themselves.
So part of the way towards health, taking in these seven pillars, is to be able to take the emotions that a person has or the inability to express those emotions and be able to give methods and avenues to release the energy so that it doesn't go back and impact upon the body.
Right. And go back one step further as understand the mechanism of why they feel that way under those circumstances. And when you address their corrupt mind programming, their belief system that is corrupt, okay, you know. Bad things happen to good people. You know, that's a personal law that somebody might work by. You know, the money is the root of all evil. That's a personal law that a person might have in their subconscious. And when you understand what's causing the thought process that leads them to express this particular emotion under these circumstances, when you go to the core of why they have that belief system and you help them to upgrade their belief system to something that instead of working against them now works for them, now you change their whole response to life. Now, instead of storing trapped energy in your liver, causing you to have arthritis and vision problems and muscle joint tendon problems, okay, now you don't have that. Why? Because you're not stuffing that anymore in the wrong way. You're actually doing it productively in a balanced way, and then the condition goes away.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. As simple as that might be.
Yeah, at least on paper. But, you know, the way that our minds work and all the trap doors and all the locked rooms of all the emotions that we've experienced of trauma and abuse and violations, this, that, and the other way. And we need to open up every door within our consciousness and let it all air out and let some old air blow out and new air blow in. But, you know, we compartmentalize stuff. And so accessing the 10,000 rooms you have up above your ears and making sure that all of them are balanced and coordinated and working together, for some people, it's a process.
But it's a challenge.
But the understanding of the process that we need to go through is very, very solid. It's very, very logical. It's very, very straightforward. So it just becomes a question of, do you want that kind of help, or do you want to continue to suppress how your body's getting your attention through a symptom by masking and covering it up with a toxic chemical that's just going to push this symptom down, the main warning signal that your body's letting you know that you have a problem, giving you a side effect, which is a secondary problem as a result of letting you know that the medication isn't the right solution, sending you off on a cascade of maybe other potential outcomes that now you're going to spend your whole life chasing because you didn't actually deal with the cause of the issue.
That's the problem. I mean, one of the, we were talking before in terms of the liver and the connective tissue, and is there a coordination between things like that and like fibromyalgia?
Oh, absolutely. Fibromyalgia is a very interesting condition. You're not suffering from a deficiency of Lyrica, so I wouldn't want you to do that because that's got to be processed by your liver. And if the liver controls all those connective tissues, then if you're putting toxins into your liver in an effort to get you to feel better, I can understand the urgency to want to just feel better. But you're not going to help your system long term by taking these kind of medications. But fibromyalgia is, you know, you have to get to the source. And the source of fibromyalgia is a myelencephalitis virus. And there's as many as 150 different strains of that virus. So the ME150 virus is what the underlying cause of fibromyalgia is. And, you know, handling that in as little as one office visit, a maximum of three office visits in an effort to educate the person on how to remedy their situation is from my perspective and what I've seen and giving people back their lives. Don't suppress the problem, fix the problem.
It's interesting it's encouraging. It's exciting to hear that a condition that plagues some people to such a degree can be fixed relatively easily if you seek out the correct health.
Yeah, don't suppress your problem. Fix it.
And in order to fix that, I mean, here we are dealing with anger and the issues around anger, the issues that are associated with the liver, which have to do with the tissues of the body. And there are different types of anger. I mean, sometimes anger could be explosive. Sometimes it could be sort of a steaming, you know, long-term anger. But each one of those is going to affect the liver.
And each one of those will affect the body in a subtly different way. I mean, there was a gentleman that I used to know. He's since passed, but there was a gentleman that I used to know who he was always blowing up. He was always expressing his anger in the moment that it would happen, and it would be totally non-rational, and he would act in non-rational ways. But at the end of the day, he probably saved himself from having a severe health issue. Why? Because he was always releasing that anger. Whereas the spouse of this particular individual, she always took the anger that he was expressing, and she swallowed it, and she internalized all of that, and she developed other issues as a result, and weight management issues in an effort to insulate and protect herself from these external stresses on the outside world kind of thing. And, you know, it's just interesting to see how people manifest their health conditions based upon how they choose to deal with their stresses. And having an outlet is better than suppressing it. And 99% of what goes on in medicine is about suppression.
True. And that's a very different approach to what you take. I mean, if you want to be able to deal with your health issues before they become overblown and full-fledged disease, you need to be able to release them. You need to get them out of your body. You need to get down to the cause so you get rid of what's leading you to have the symptoms and the problems that you have.
Right.
Well, this is great. Another great conversation with you, Doc Rick. I really appreciate it. If we're not able to answer the questions that somebody that's listening to the show wants to get their questions answered, is looking for help with their health, has issues. They might be liver issues. They might be gallbladder issues. They might be any health issue that they have, and maybe even one that hasn't manifested as a disease, but they're curious about why they just don't feel quite right, and they're not able to get the help that they want from their doctor. What would be the best way to reach out to you and see if you could help with their problem?
Well, first and foremost, I want you to go to the website spineboy.com and click on any of the six different ways to get to the webpage called Ask Dr. Why, and read some of the articles there. But at the end of the day, if you want to truly tackle your issue and you resonate with the things that I've shared over the last greater than year discussing health issues on this radio show here, just give me a call. The best way to get a hold of me is to call my cell phone. It's in my hand right now. The phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, that's 845 561-2225. You can email me directly. The email is docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K at spineboy.com. Whatever it takes, I just would like for you to help you become the best version of you that you can possibly imagine expressing. And the way to do that is to get your health right and to get your head right and to get your spirit right. And my job is to make sure that all of that happens. So I want to thank you for tuning in today. I appreciate your listenership and I hope this was valuable for you. Please tune back in next week. Same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.
What started out as a headache has become a pain in the butt. What was just an itchy finger now is a swollen foot. Doctor, I've been out of